You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out on Madison's East Side or West Side, or go to verlo.com. Ask about their lifetime comfort guarantee and ask them when Maddie the Mattress will be appearing on John and Gordy.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah. Tell them that's what you'd like to see.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
Yeah,
you know he has been a dumbass for a long time, and now he's making really stupid comments, and he can't wait to make Gaza a
what, the new Riviera, the
a destination place. To
apparently, yeah. Don't worry about the 1.8 million Palestinians that are living there
in Egypt.
Is
saying that Palestinians should stay in Gaza while they rebuild it.
Right.
Because they don't want them.
All the Arab countries have made statements objecting to this plan.
It sounds almost like war. You know, our peacetime president is certainly riling up a few people.
Yeah.
I want to get to this RFK thing real quick here. Senator Bill Cassidy is a physician.
That's right.
And they were thinking that he probably wouldn't vote for RFK Jr., and it might hold his nomination up.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Really? Like I said, he's on board now.
They're passing everybody. They're not gonna turn anybody away from this, seriously. Cassidy said this: "I've had very intense conversations with Bobby and the White House over the weekend," and the White House, by the way, "over the weekend and even this morning. I want to thank VP JD specifically for his honest counsel." That's wrong. "With the serious commitments I've received from the administration and the opportunity to make progress on the issue we agreed on, like healthy foods and pro-American agenda, what? I will vote yes." So there you go. Now,
so RFK's in.
Yes.
Basically.
Now, one of the people that has a lot of commentary on X, that's Joe, not the one that calls us up, but another Joe. And she wrote, "Nobel laureates have written that Kennedy would put the nation's health in jeopardy. The American Public Health Association, representing 25,000 professionals in that field, have come out against his nomination based on his consistent disregard for scientific evidence. And recently, thousands of physicians and others in healthcare have signed on to letters echoing those concerns. And yet, here you are, an actual MD, choosing to ignore all of them in order to appease a madman you know incited an attack on our country. You effing coward."
Wow.
She uses the F word an awful lot, so okay. I cleaned that up.
Thank you for doing that.
Just for your information.
Okay. Hey, let's go to the phones. Dick is on the line. You can call us too, 608-879-TALK. That's 879-8255. Good morning, Dick. What do you got for us this morning?
Well, to the Gaza thing, I mean, what's the market price for broken up concrete and rebar, first of all, for the cleanup? But can you imagine after the Civil War, if England and France would have came to Lincoln and said, "Well, you know, how about we take Georgia? I mean, it's pretty messed up, and Atlanta's gone. So we'll just take that back, and you don't have the time or the money." And then France could go, "How about the Louisiana Purchase back in 03, 05, whatever that was?
Yep.
We'll take that from you." Yep. And, you know, and we'll call it, European North America or something.
Yes.
I mean, what is this guy? He's nuts.
He really is.
And, and how do these people feel about this that voted against Harris because of that very situation in the Middle East?
I know.
They're not saying much. Yeah.
Well, you know, he's also, you know, said he's going to go after the cartels in Mexico, and Mexico's president said, no way. You know, I mean, we have sovereignty here. You can't come in here and start doing stuff. And now the cartels, of course, are angry about it, and they've manned and put weaponry on drones, and they're going to be attacking the border.
His philosophy is this. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine, too.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that.
That's right.
There's no sovereign nation left in this planet.
That's right.
Say, Dick, before you go, just curious, how do you listen to WMDX most mornings? You listening on
radio, because I'm en route back for work.
Okay, yeah. Okay, just kind of radio, right? Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Just kind of curious. Yeah, thank you for that.
We always encourage you watching the show as well.
On Facebook or YouTube.
While you're driving.
While you're driving.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so interesting to watch us sitting here. okay, Dick.
All right, Dick. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
let's
that
get
call.
To the Schimmel stories, okay? The Schimmel campaign acknowledges altering a photo in an ad they made.
What?
To their opponent, Susan Crawford. All right. Now, this is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Just big story. And they showed the pictures. It's obviously AI contorted. Dane County Judge Susan Crawford spokesman said an image of her in the ad had been doctored to a smirk from one of her just smiling and questioned whether alterations were made with AI technology that was not disclosed in violation of a bipartisan state law that went into effect in March.
Hmm.
The Schimmel campaign, of course, denied it in their clumsy way because you can't do the image alteration without it. I mean, if you look at this, it's definitely AI. It's ridiculous, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Like I said, you can't use crayons and get that same effect. Schimmel will try to manipulate images and the facts because he's desperate to hide his own record of failure, Crawford's campaign said. Why don't we... this is in the ad, by the way, from Schimmel. And I'm only playing just the last few words of this because, not again. Just listen to what it is.
Her criminal coddling record is an injustice to us all.
See, you know, they always go after this coddling, you know, the criminals thing.
Right.
Every Democrat, every candidate.
Coddles criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're always trying to do that. If, you know, the voters have got to be tired of the same old formula, and it's never been true. Never. All right, let's get to
Schimmel's going with the law and order angle, and again, by doing that, right?
If you make people think that there's criminals running through the streets, then you've got a problem on your hands.
That's
it's a manufactured problem.
Now, I love this, and we tried to – we didn't get anything from a Wisconsin Democracy campaign, did we?
Not yet,
okay,
no.
All right. I tried to get a hold of anyone at the Wisconsin Democracy campaign, but Nick Ramos, I heard him. He was on, I believe, Dom's show yesterday, and he was he's fit to be tied. But I thought this was really funny. The headline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel said, "Liberal watchdog group accuses Brad Schimmel of improper funding in the Supreme Court race."
Huh.
That, you know, Nick is very specific that they are not political, all right?
Right.
They don't take sides. But anyway, Schimmel told a conservative radio host in April that he has national relationships with donors and had met with them. He clarified he couldn't ask the groups directly for money, but told them about the significance of the election. Now, I have cut 28. Let's check that out.
I'll be competitive on the money. I'll have the money I need to run the effective TV campaign that we need. We'll play this smarter than the race was last April.
Because there
were big mistakes made.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, that the major donors in Wisconsin that are the ones who write the giant checks that get transferred through this, I don't know if you know this, but
giant checks, I got it.
You can give $20,000 as an individual to a statewide candidate.
Well, you could do
so,
that.
I mean, I can. I'll have to have my friend Jeff take the checks. I can't handle the dirty money, but if you've got your $20,000 check, he'll take care of those for you tonight. You can give that much as an individual. Then, if you want to give a lot more, you can give that. You can give that to either of the state parties.
Yes.
And they can transfer it. Bless you. They can transfer that to candidates. You can't earmark it and say, "I'm giving you this money, but you have to give it." But they're gonna. Those donors are going to wait till after November 5th to make sure that I'm the last thing that they give the money to. But that money's going to come.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So,
but I'm glad he clarified that he wasn't asking the group directly for money, but, you know, you can make this size check or a big check here and give it to that person, not me, but somebody else. Certainly.
Explain how to do that. That's important.
Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign went through the roof, obviously, and said, in a complaint filed with the Wisconsin Judicial Commission, these comments are not just inappropriate, they're a direct violation of Wisconsin Supreme Court's Code of Judicial Conduct, period. You know, Schimmel's a judge.
Yeah.
The code explicitly states that judges and judicial candidates must avoid even the appearance of impropriety and must not personally solicit campaign contributions. The state's judicial conduct code states a judge candidate for judicial office or judge-elect shall not personally solicit or accept campaign contributions. The candidate's campaign committee is responsible for that. He's usurped them, and he is asking for money. As you heard in the clip.
Well, at least he's got the decency to say bless you when somebody sneezed.
Good point.
You're right.
We got a minute here. Let's go to the phones. Mark is on the line with a question or a comment. Good morning, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, since you're on the little Brad Schimmel topic, that let's never forget, yeah, he just talked about coddling criminals. What about the criminal he coddled back in the day when little Mr. Wizard Scott Jensen was convicted of 3 felonies in Dane County? And it was just like, oh, that was so unfair that he was convicted of felonies in the state, in the county where he committed the crime.
Right.
So they moved it to Waukesha County, and Brad Schimmel reduced it down to 1 misdemeanor so Scott Jensen could continue to work as a lobbyist, which he probably is still doing now. And how much money has Scott Jensen shuffled Brad Schimmel's way and the outfits that the companies or organizations that Mr. Jensen lobbies for, how much money have they shifted Brad Schimmel's way?
He's lobbying for private schools.
Good point. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, brothers.
All right.
Right around the corner, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot, get the latest on the weather, and Mike McCabe coming up in just a little while right here on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning.
This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource. Celebrating 65 years of lawn care, flower care, trimming, pruning, shaping. David J. Frank, the largest landscape contractor in southeast Wisconsin. Go to davidjfrank.com for more information. We now go to Brittany Merlot in Wausau, our civic media meteorologist, to find out and what's happening today, but also to let her know that it's National Weather Person's Day. Yay! We appreciate you, Brittany. Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate you too, Gordy. You're part of this as well.
Well, yes, that's right.
As a former weather person.
See, he denies it. He just doesn't want to be a part of this.
I did my 20 years as a TV weather person. That's enough.
It's like being in prison. He doesn't want to talk about it.
No,
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
Not like that at all.
Yeah, no. I think Brittany has a gift for us. She's going to send that storm just a little south of us, right, Brittany? Is that what you're doing for us?
Oh, yeah, you want me to do that? Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. I'll work on my magic.
All right.
You know, no, I think I am taking the snow away from you, though.
Good.
You do have a chance for a few flurries possibly this afternoon, but nothing that'll accumulate, really. And then as the system actually lifts in, your temperatures are going to be so mild and flirting with that freezing mark that I think you're going to see some freezing drizzle potentially later on this evening, probably after 7 or so. Mm-hmm. That's when it could get a little slick and slippery out there. So I don't think you're going to have anything to shovel, but I do think you'll have slippery spots by tonight for sure.
All right. Mm.
Be careful out there, huh?
You know, I think the guys out on State Street here at the Capital City in Madison, I think they know how to do the sidewalks with their leaf blowers because, you know.
We see them out there every morning.
It's light, fluffy stuff. It's, you know, blowable.
Okay.
This is the way to do it.
Well, there are definitely no leaves out there.
Well, now, why did you have to point that out?
They're doing something.
You're getting them in trouble.
No.
Oh, man.
I'm going to go out and talk to them one of these days. Yeah.
Those crazy little toys where it's like the little trucks, you know, where you can move it, you know, a remote controlled truck and it's got a plow on it. So people are plowing their driveways with these toys.
No, I did not see that.
No kidding.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yes. Yeah. People are getting creative out there. Yeah. I don't know how long that takes, but it looks good.
It could take a while. I imagine the traction isn't there, right? I mean, you have to have a heavy vehicle in order to move it along. Yeah. Well, anyway, so what's coming up? So you're going to try to make it to Madison for the big event here, right?
The Frozen Assets Festival that's happening Saturday?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes, I want to be there so bad. That frozen sailing or whatever that's called, ice sailing, I want to try that.
Ice sailing.
And anything with Great Lake, or not the Great, I'm on it. I'm on it.
All right. That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it happens Saturday, so maybe we'll see you down there.
The ice isn't that hard, so, you know, take your chances.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I think it's okay.
You're coming with me then, John.
All right. You got it.
Brittany, thank you so much.
Yep.
You have a good
day. You guys have a good day.
All right.
Thank you.
Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of people are preparing their taxes or getting money ready to do something about their taxes, right?
Sure.
Well, Elon has gotten in the way a little bit here. He says he has deleted the IRS easy filing team that let Americans file taxes for free online.
He deleted the team?
Yes, the team.
Just deleted them.
Yep, deleted them. That's what he said. In a post on X, unelected government official Elon Musk revealed that he has cut the staff of the IRS service. The IRS that oversaw the system that allows Americans to file their taxes free online. That's it.
God.
Yeah. Pay the money. Come on. That's what this whole thing is about. It's privatization. It's capitalism. Okay. The right-wing mega influencer called the Direct File Tax Program a far-left. Get this. This is... We're making it easier for people to file their taxes for free online if they do the simple form.
Right.
So this mega influencer called the Direct File Tax Program a far-left government-wide computer office that was built by Elizabeth Warren.
Well.
He claimed Direct File puts the government in charge of preparing people's tax returns for them, he claimed. Musk responded by saying, that group has been deleted. And so now we know that is it for that.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was free. You know, both Spanish and English versions were out there for people to do it for free. Now they have to buy the software and pay some money. And
maybe I'll just go back to doing it on paper so I don't got to use TurboTax again.
TurboTax.
You could do that.
What was the last time that you guys did your taxes on paper?
Oh, I don't know. It's been years.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
It's absolutely been years.
They still make the forms available at your local post offices.
Yeah, the very first time that I did it when I was like 16, I did it on paper, and that was the wrong choice.
Really? Do you have a problem?
Yeah, they got my name wrong, actually, because it was the first time I had ever filed. When I went back the next year in 2017, they had my name wrong in the system with my Social Security number, so I had to like call them and jump through some hoops so they could
just
fix
misspell it. Or what?
Yeah, because I have horrible handwriting.
Oh.
They couldn't read the form right.
Yeah.
So it was really your fault.
Okay.
No, yeah, it's somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, what are we going to do with this guy? You know, here's a headline. Bill Gates says he thinks it's insane that Elon Musk is allowed to destabilize politics in other countries.
Well, good for him for speaking up.
Bill, we got a country right here that is totally destabilized. I'm glad you're worried about the other countries, but think about me.
Yeah,
us?
What about us?
Come on. Yeah, what about us? You know, I as I'm paging through my my show material here, yes. You know, I lick my fingers so I could page through it a little bit easier.
Right, yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
And my kids, they said, why do you guys lick your fingers? I'm not kidding. They really did.
Do they just have inherently sweaty hands that they can already just move the pages?
I know,
like
maybe they never wash their hands, you know, like Hegseth. But, you know, the thing is, you know, it's like, and they prefaced it by saying, you know, why do older people lick their fingers in order to page through papers?
Oh, he doesn't understand that.
No, they don't get that. Seems to make sense to me. Well, you know, this generation, they don't have to go through papers anymore. You know, it's through files on their computer.
Right.
So they don't have to lick their fingers like old people do when they go through paper.
Oh, boy. What we go through. Okay.
I know.
29 past the hour, right around the corner, Mike McCabe will join us. Stay with us. Let
the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy in the Morning, a broadcast institution since 1987. Of course, they've been off the air since 1994. That's what, 30 years? Institution.
Been a while.
Took a little break.
Yeah. But here we are anyway.
John Peterson, Gordy Young.
I'm
Sam
John.
Davison.
I'm John.
Behind the controls.
You're Gordy.
Yeah.
Just so
Sam's over there.
Who the voices are.
Yeah.
Mike McCabe has joined us in
the
studio.
Mike is in here now.
Because it's Wednesday.
From Substack. Yeah.
We have him in every Wednesday. Mike, good to see you again.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah.
Well, with what's going on in the country, it's a crazy time for everybody. We have completely destroyed every department that we can, and we've fired so many thousands of people.
We didn't
and,
do it.
Well, as a country.
Oh.
But there's so much yet to break.
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting started.
That's true. And your recent Substack article titled Time for a New American Tale is something that, we can refer back to someday. In fact, I want to refer to one of the parts in it because I think this is a positive. You wrote that... there's a party that's scary and a party that's scared, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the Democrats have finally found some kind of maybe a vertebrae or two. They have a backbone now. I don't know if you've seen the reports. These guys are huddled in large crowds outside, you know,
The
department
Treasury
buildings,
yeah,
you know, all of that. You know, they're finally getting active. They're finally out there trying to get some kind of change. And it seems almost like they're not going to be able to do that because I think all the Republicans are on chart, are on the same page, rather, to do away with all these departments. I don't think this is something that they're going to save us from. That's where I am at. But at least the Democrats have shown some spine at this point. What do you think?
Well, one thing is interesting, John, is that I said that there's one party that's scary and another that's scared, and you didn't ask me which one's which.
Wow.
which to me says a lot about that little statement. That I've never had anybody who had to ask which one's which. People instantly relate to it.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
Yeah.
you know, but getting a spine, what the article is really about is that getting a spine is one piece to the puzzle, but it won't by itself do the trick. And but it's really important for that resistance to be there.
Yes.
It's really important for there to be the spunk, the fight to resist what's being done.
I think because a lot of people are being influenced by what they're seeing here. There are a lot of young people seeing what the Republicans are doing, and maybe they're finding, you know, I kind of like that. There are other people who are seeing what the Democrats are doing, resisting this, and they might go that direction.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, there's got to be that fight. But then there also has to be an alternative that to all this madness. There has to be a narrative, a story about how this country should, you know, turn and head in a different direction. And what amazes me is how thoroughly the right has controlled the national narrative for well over a generation.
Yes, yes.
They have set the terms of the debate by telling a story about what life should be all about in America. And all of the political debates we have really are dictated by that narrative, which is controlled by the right. And so they kind of have played us all like a fiddle because they so control the national story.
For so long.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a really long time since we had a narrative, a national story, a national mythology that wasn't under the spell of the people on the far right and the billionaires.
But you know, one of the interesting parts of that is that the Democrats have had a story, but that story is always contradicted by the right wing's story. And
no, I disagree with you, John. I think what the Democrats have are facts. And they've got policy platforms, and they've got, they focus on what they want to do and how they want to do it.
Yes,
but they skip right over the pivotal part, which is why they want to do all this stuff, and that's where the national narrative, that story has to come in.
You got me on that one.
They talk about the what and they talk about the how. But they don't describe the why, and that is an omission that people on the right have been able to exploit to great effect, because they do talk about the why. They say that there are these invading hordes at our doorstep that are going to take everything that we care about away from us. And they also have talked, they've told this story about how there are makers and there are takers.
Yeah,
in our society, and fortune belongs to the makers, and but there's all these takers who are gonna bleed us dry, and they've done a marvelous job, and that of course has immense impact on national economic policy, because if there are makers and takers, then you've got to feed the makers, you've got to feed the rich. And you get one huge tax break after another, with this idea that all of this wealth that is amassed by those at the top is going to somehow magically filter down to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that the essence of American economic policy right now? It's trickle-down economics. And what I write about in the piece is that's hogwash. That really economic prosperity, economic vitality gushes up like a geyser. It doesn't trickle down.
Right.
You don't get economic prosperity is driven by demand, not supply. You can bribe rich people into building factories. You can incentivize them and subsidize them and get them to boost production and boost supply. But if nobody's got any money in their pockets to buy what they're selling, the factories will be shuttered in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, economic growth is driven by demand. It's not driven by supply. But we're under the spell of this story that there are makers and takers, and you feed the makers, and then they'll take care of everybody.
Right.
And that's absolutely wrong. You put money in the pockets of working class people, and they will spend it. You put money in the pockets of the rich, and most of it they'll just store away. They'll just add it to their net worth. They'll take it right out of circulation, and it'll stop having any economic benefit whatsoever. You give it to working class people, they spend it, and when there is demand, when there are people wanting to buy, there will always be capitalists eager to supply what people want to buy. They don't need incentives. They don't need subsidies. They don't need tax breaks for the rich. What we need to do is prime the economic pump by benefiting working class people. Well, that's part of a national story that is about valuing working class people, making them the heroes in the story. Mm-hmm. They're the drivers of economic vitality. They're the drivers of economic growth. It's been a long time since we had people who were good enough storytellers to tell that tale. But I'll tell you, watch any Frank Capra movie. Go back to an earlier era before the right dominated the national storytelling. You go back to somebody like Frank Capra. He was masterful at telling that story about the little guy, that heroic figure who had nothing but worked hard, looked out for other people, cared about family, and made a better life for a whole community, for a whole society. And that kind of storytelling has vanished, at least on the left.
Well, you did really well telling the story.
Yeah, where do we find these other storytellers like you?
I think it starts by understanding that it's not enough to try to hit the brakes and stop what Trump is doing, because he is playing us like a fiddle.
Right.
And he does tap into that the American psyche, because they've been told a story about what's going on in this world. And he understands that story, and he exploits it.
But it's an alternative reality.
So you can't just focus on what and the how, what policy should be put in place, and how we solve this problem or that problem. We have to describe why we are doing all this stuff, and that's been absent for too long, and it's an omission that is crippling.
Talking with Mike McCabe, you can join the conversation, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. So let's start there. So did this start with Reagan, this most recent storytelling on that side of the aisle? Is that where they started the narrative of, you know?
Reagan was a particularly gifted storyteller. He was a very effective communicator, so he contributed greatly. But, you know, there have been people on the right behind the scenes that have been working to craft a national narrative, a national story, and it even predates Reagan.
Really?
But I think in terms of a national figure who had that ability to tell a story about what America should be, that shining city on a hill he used to talk about.
Right.
He was particularly gifted at it. But then, you know, people like from Karl Rove to so many others who have that similar talent, but they work out of the spotlight.
They were manipulators. They were the backroom influencers.
But one of the things that I think people on the left have, they've grown really cynical about the idea of mythology. But yet every society has mythology. And if you deny the importance of mythology, you basically are saying, I don't want any part of society, because all societies have their mythologies.
Right.
So you can either have a narrative that says there are makers and takers and there are hordes on the doorstep and we need to feed the rich because they will produce more supply, and that's what creates economic
vitality.
And the
poor are eating cats and dogs.
Or you could tell a story about how there's rot at the top, and there are people who are bleeding us dry, and they're amassing great wealth by making the rest of people poor.
We have told that.
And really people who think about what we talk about every day. Now it's Gaza. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. He's going to take over Gaza. And we'll talk about that. I don't want to talk about Gaza. I don't want to talk about whatever Trump thinks we should be talking about at the moment. Mm-hmm. Panama or Greenland.
Right.
He's masterful at distraction.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be focused on telling the story about how our economy is demand driven, not supply driven. And if we want economic prosperity that is widely shared, we've got to embrace Geyser economics. We got to put money in the pockets of working class people. Mm-hmm. They will spend it. That will create demand. And when there's demand, there will be plenty of capitalists eager to supply what people want to buy. That has to be a message that comes through all the time.
Yes,
and instead, he's going to feed us more tax breaks for the rich by getting us talking about Gaza and Panama, mm-hmm. and yeah. Greenland and the, you know, everything else that he talks about, while they usher in more of their kind of economic policy that will enrich him and his billionaire friends.
Well, they're putting a lot of people out of work, and that's not going to be very good for the economy. Plus, we've been talking about that. We've been actually trying to tell and warn the public about all of this that's going on, and we know...
You know, John, where's the Democrats'
yeah.
message that says, here's why tax breaks for the rich won't work?
Mm-hmm.
Because what drives economic vitality is demand, not supply.
Well, that's
true.
That's the why.
It's not that the tax breaks for the rich are bad. It's here's what actually creates economic prosperity.
Yep.
We will return with more with Mike McCabe in just a moment on John and Gordy in the Morning. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Show.
And this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo Mattress. Check them out on Madison's East Side or West Side, or go to verlo.com.
We were talking off the air, a lot of the presidents were really good storytellers, many, many of them. The only one I could think of was George W. Bush. We have a text here that says John Kennedy had it. He was a good storyteller. Here's one. I think McCabe is saying Democrats need to lie like Republicans shamelessly.
Nope. Nope.
And backed by billions of dollars to get the message out. I know he's kidding. And he says, again, McCabe is ignoring the deep pockets of billionaires to push the message. It's infuriating, and I'm not listening to his naive, lazy Democratic bashing anymore.
Mike McCabe, your response?
Yeah, what say you?
Well, Democrats had billions of dollars to get their message out there.
That's true.
Billions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet... Yet they didn't get the message out.
Yeah. You know, we used to talk an awful lot about this. I've been doing this talk show thing for a long time. We used to talk about demand. The consumer is 70% of our economy. They're the ones who make this country roll.
Yep.
And it's not the producers. It's, again, not the job creators.
Yep.
It was called voodoo economics by George H.W.
Think about that term that has been repeated 10,000 times, 100,000 times.
Never sank in.
Job creators.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm talking about. Oh. That phrase has been repeated so many times. There are job creators.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to benefit the job creators. But the people who really create the jobs are consumers.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That, yes.
Exactly.
And as soon as consumers aren't in a position to buy, mm-hmm. the jobs disappear. The factories close. And that story needs to be told. And there were billions of dollars spent by Democrats. The Harris campaign outspent the Trump campaign. So if it comes down to money, Democrats had plenty of money, but they didn't have a message that infiltrated and you think about that idea of job creators, makers, takers, all that kind of messaging on the right, it has penetrated so many minds, and it needs to be countered, and it needs to be countered on a daily basis. Well, if you're gonna undo that kind of damage.
During the George W. administration, they had a phrase, and it was the ownership society, which was totally insulting. I just couldn't. I can't imagine a worse thing to say to everybody out here working paycheck to paycheck. It's the ownership society.
When you think of really gifted communicators on the left, John Kennedy definitely had it.
Yes.
Martin Luther King was about as gifted a communicator on the left as you'd find anywhere. But interestingly, what did he speak about? He didn't give the I have a plan speech. He gave the I have a dream speech. Mm-hmm. He talked about the why. He talked about why we should embrace values that will make our country truly great.
Well, he could have said he had a concept plan.
But he
I'm just kidding.
He did not give the I have a plan speech. Yeah. And then, of course, maybe the greatest communicator in human history might have been Jesus of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. When you think about how long that message has echoed through the ages. And Jesus spoke in parables, for crying out loud. You know, Jesus spoke in parables.
He was a storyteller.
Yeah. And that message of his ended up echoing for over a millennium.
Yeah. One texter put, Democrats have a lot of money, but Republicans don't need a lot of money because they have Fox News and hundreds of right-wing talk stations throughout the country. So, and that's true. I mean, I remember a statistic a long time ago, they owned like 92% of all the talk radio stations that you could listen to. They had the message, 92% saturation. And they would always say, and I tried to get in on some of those radio stations, and they said, well, you know, liberals don't sell. It doesn't sell product. That's the excuse. But they got away with it. They actually got away with it. Somebody should have sued, say, well, you're blocking, you're censoring me, and you have an FCC license. You're a government, you're government controlled. You're censoring me. I can't get a job here because I don't sell commercials. And, a lot of those other talk shows were money losers. And the only reason they survived is because they took syndicated shows with all the ads already embedded. So, they survived. They have an economy unto themselves, the Republicans. They create jobs. They have institutions and fellows. And they have all of these think tanks. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
But what do they call that? It's always called the echo chamber.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's called an echo chamber because they keep echoing core themes.
Yes.
Same messages.
The same messages over and over again. Rush Limbaugh was one of the big innovators, of course, in right-wing talk radio. And what were his listeners called? Ditto heads.
Yeah.
Because they would just say, Rush would speak and they would say ditto. And because Rush would just repeat the same basic theme over and over again, hour after hour, day after day after day. Was it money that did that, or was it partly message discipline that was the secret of their rise of media dominance? Just saying the same things over and over and over again until they sink in.
Mike, unfortunately, we are out of time. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mike McCabe, you can check him out on Substack. And
I think we just scratched the surface on this one.
The conversation continues.
This is big.
We'll see you next Wednesday. Tomorrow, we will be checking in with Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils.
Yes.
And Stephanie Miller's coming up next.
Yes.
Have a great day. We'll talk to you first thing in the morning tomorrow.
Take care. Bundle up.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.